Oh, that was pretty good, actually.
Every time we you like say Dota that, it's so bad. I'm sorry.
The generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Yale Braden, I think you have to start Ninja again. Skulls, Samson Magnuson. What? It's separate recording. You can't hear us.
What do you mean it's separate recordings? You can't hear it.
You guys, Jim thinks I'm going to edit this, but I'm not going to edit it.
Yeah, he thinks that Aaron's going to fix it in post.
Come on, man. What do you think?
Biggest
all right, go again, Jim.
We Like Dota is brought to you with the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Ye Olde Raven, Ninja Skelts, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowbell, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Beandob, Motster, Icebug, Spenguin, Titus Andromedon, Dank, Zynason, Dilly Kauschef, Paul Turner, Jeff Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Lato Play, and Wisp. If you'd like to get your name added to the list of patrons, head over to WeLikeDota.com and follow the links to the Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 283, starts now. Welcome, everyone, to We Like Dota, episode 283. Thank you for joining us. We have a full house here.
Woo!
Woo!
I am joined by the wooer, Sam.
Oh, I didn't know who was going to be the wooer. It's me. Hello.
You were the first wooer.
What am I?
And the second wooer, Charlene.
Woo too.
Woo too.
I am woo too. Hello.
And Arian.
What's up, gamers? Wait, I'm not the third hooer?
I didn't hear you woo.
I wooed. Oh my god. It's bad.
Oh, you're the hooer.
Not even heard.
We have woo woo two and who. It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, what's up? How are you doing?
Here's where I'm going to show my age. There's a whole How I Met Your Mother episode about woo girls. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
I very vaguely remember. That's but okay. Also not.
It's a pretty trash show. Never mind. That's what made me think of it, though. Anyway, we're wooers. Hi.
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 Does anybody want to do any intro other than me? I have something.
All right, go cool. For it, woo girl.
Okay, very cool, very cool. Social isolation has been tough for your social worker who can't go see anybody. Doing social work over the phone is like pretty frustrating because I can't offer my family as many things. But this means that I am able to putter around the house endlessly. So I've been caulking the bathroom, repainting the bathroom, really trying to spruce things up. I'm making a new desk. So right now the computer is in the baby's room. I don't think I've announced on the pod, but we're expecting a baby in June.
Hey.
What?
Yes, very exciting. I have been closed-lipped about it on the internet, but now.
Congrats, dude.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
So we have to move. We're rearranging things because right now the baby's room has this giant desk in it that I play Dota in. We don't think that's going to be very conducive to the baby. So,
gotta start him young.
Yeah.
Baby needs its rest. So, we are moving. I'm building a new desk, putting it downstairs in the living room in like this little nook that was previously occupied by a giant bookshelf. So I moved the bookshelf downstairs, rearranged the entire downstairs living room.
Damn,
and
I'm
building
nice.
I'm building a new desk. So new configuration. Still getting used to the living room. Probably gonna have to move things around like 12 more times before it feels correct.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing our best to stay sane during the social isolation.
Awesome.
We're hoping that social isolation is lifted by the time baby is here because
oh god, hopefully.
We want baby to meet other people other than us.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a lot of my cousins who are a bit older than me, they already have kids and stuff. They are going crazy right now because they all have kids who are like 2 or 3 years old, and yeah, they're all mm-hmm. just stuck at home and they can't go out. It's actually insane.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim, no. You all right there, buddy?
Oh, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything all right?
Yeah, just go ahead. Yeah, I was... You could just go and edit it out.
What? No, your cough must remain in posterity to prove that you are corona positive.
Oh, no, Jim.
Or that he's aspirated coffee again?
Yeah, aspirated coffee, I always do. Okay. Oh. It's my curse. Like, back when I was a grad student, I'd go to all these, like, colloquia and stuff. And there'd be, like, these eminent scholars speaking. And I would inevitably aspirate the first sip of coffee from the free coffee they gave you. Mm. I would just be coughing throughout the guy's entire presentation. And now it happens with this.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who aspirates when drinking things. I'm also my curse.
Feels bad.
Oh, good.
Well, let me ask each of you for the intro. Can we go around and talk about what we've been doing in this time of social isolation?
Yeah,
Jim,
sure.
Begin.
I get to work from home, which is honestly very fortunate. Both my wife and I get to work from home, so we don't have to worry about money. And our kids are like remote learning, so they have to do all the schoolwork online in the morning. And that's really hard to do. It's very difficult to homeschool 2 children while you're also doing your job. But we've also go play basketball like literally every day because there's a court up the street and you can still be socially isolated, just staying away from people. So I think by the end of this, we'll have gone crazy from trying to do all our work, and our kids will have recruiting letters from all kinds of different schools because that's all they do is play basketball. How about you, Charlene? What's it like up in the Great White North?
Up here in Canada, it's fine, I guess. Vancouver is doing its best to socially isolate. I'm still going to work. I work at a biotech, so I have a lot of like lab stuff that I need to do. I don't even know if I should say this on the pod. Our wonderful CEO is trying to figure out how to like buy up gloves and masks and stuff from China to price gouge and resell. And I'm like, yep, the company is, you know, on brand and, you know, keeping true to itself. So there's that. So
yeah,
CEO
definitely listens to the pod.
Overall, with my workplace, I've been very unhappy with how little they've tried to do anything. Like, they, for the longest time, refused to let people who could work from home because of, like, quote-unquote fairness. They're like, oh, but the people in the lab can't work from home. And we're like, we don't give a shit. Just let them work from home. So work is meh, but, like, the city of Vancouver, I think, is doing all right. Like, public transit is pretty like there aren't that many people on the trains and buses. Buses are free now because they have like rear boarding so that you're not like up by the driver stuff, and like the rear door is usually more towards like the middle of the bus so that people can spread out and isolate. Lots of hand washing, and yeah, I haven't. Otherwise, my schedule hasn't changed too much. I guess I don't go to my dance classes anymore, but I just like stretch at home. So
Yeah, fits bad.
How about you?
In Germany, it's pretty bad at this point. I feel like because in Germany, like we just reached 20,000 cases yesterday, and only a couple days ago, Italy had 20,000 cases, and everybody was already saying, hey man, Italy is a complete disaster, right? And now Italy has 47,000 cases. It's pretty bad, I feel like, in Europe already. And I think NA is going to get there in no time as well.
Always Dota regions,
yeah,
right?
Always Dota regions. So yeah, I'm dealing with it pretty fine, I guess, because conveniently my sister, she had a kind of a big fight with her flatmate.
Oh no.
So she moved to our house again duration of this. I mean, it's pretty nice. Her room is like still it's not, we did something else with her room, but we have a pretty big flat, so like she can stay in her room. It's pretty nice. Like, I'm spending a lot of time with my sister. We're watching a lot of old movies and stuff.
Oh, that's
nice. We watched the entire Harry Potter movie set.
Wait. Yeah, she's so very rewind much a little Harry bit. Potter. You said we were watching a bunch of old movies, and Harry Potter series is considered old.
They're not.
Jesus.
I was like 11, I think, when the last Harry Potter movie came out.
Oh my god! Such a small young boy.
I guess.
The last one came out.
But yeah, it's still pretty rough on me. I'm very glad that I have a boxing sack, to be honest. Like, I had an old boxing sack, which I never used. And now that the gym closed down, I just have to rely on that. I just box a bit every day.
Tell me more about the juicy drama with her flatmate.
Oh, I don't know what they fought over. I mean, I know, but I don't want to share it, man. That's kinda, I'm not going to share the drama, dude.
I'm kidding. That's fine. I know you love juicy drama, though, so I wanted to give you the opportunity.
No. We're good.
Very cool. I didn't know you were a boxer.
No, I'm not a boxer. Like, I just box. You don't have to be a boxer to do a bad job at boxing. Like, it's still going to be a good workout.
Don't break your hand.
Nah, I'm not going to break my hand.
Nah.
Also, Arian, Germany's population density is higher than that of Italy. So the fact that you have like similar number is a little bit less worse for you guys, if it gives you any comfort.
Yeah, but I think what's pretty bad is that the trajectory we're on right now is pretty much the same as Italy was a couple days ago.
Things I've been doing, other than puttering around and making things. What have I been doing? We went for a walk in the park, so that was nice. Trying to avoid people, but the outside has been nice. It sort of feels like we're retired, except I have to work from home. Okay, I've been playing Dota. I've been getting pretty swole. I think I'm going to become a professional bodybuilder any day now.
I would love to have a whole thing, man.
There's really, like, nothing else for me to do other than, like, catch up on paperwork and, like, use the garage gym. That's all I am able to do these days.
You're playing a lot of Dota?
Yeah, maybe I'll become a professional Dota player.
Ooh. How do you feel about the Dota you've been playing?
Very nice, Jim. Very nice.
Oh, yeah! Oh, look at it go! Oh, yeah!
Got him.
I feel... like, Dota's been pretty fun to me. I've been playing, if you look at my games, I pretty much only play Turbos, which is just fine by me. And I'm a Wraith King player now, folks.
Oh, that game. Oh, it was so good.
I've come to realize that Wraith King is great because as long as... So there's only one button you have to hit, which is great. I mean, technically, there's two. You can... summon skeletons, but really you just have one button during fights, and as long as you don't use your stun too many times, you get to play twice, and it's really great. So that lets me focus on other things, like hitting my other button, which is armlet. And so as long as I only have like
he had some really good toggles in those games, man.
Nice.
I mean, I think armlet is undervalued right now. Like, I think a lot of pro Dota 2 Wraith King folks go Radiance, but I agree with Jim that Radiance is a trap, especially in pubs. So I just always go armlet, and you feel like pretty strong early, and then I go Heaven's Halberd, and disarming people is, I think, the number one most confusing thing that ever happens to opponent carries.
That is very true, yeah. Nobody buys this arm in pubs, and it's sad because Hurlburt is such a good item.
It's really good. It's maybe like the only other most disorienting thing I think would be getting Venge swapped. It's like yeah. That's number 1A and 1B is that. So yeah, disarming people is a ton of fun. People never know how to handle it. And I'm having a great time. Other than playing Wraith King, I either play Wraith King if nobody wants to carry, but more frequently I just play position 5. So I've been playing a lot of tree. I'm almost silver tier, which is great. I really like the voice line I have now, which is, I'm really freaking out, but it's only for allies. So I really want to get to the all chat. I forget which ones his level, the silver tier are. I think they're pretty good, though. I think one of them might be. I think one of them might be like, that's
are
what
you, I lost.
Are you lost?
That's what happens when I rush.
Yeah, which both are amazing. Like, I love having one where like it you can use it when you mess up. That's like why I love Undyings. I hate life. it's very good. So having a ton of fun. Tree is really fun in lane. His ultimate is also really nice, and he's just like pretty easy to execute, which feels great. I don't know if any of you guys have experience with tree or very much tree players, but I like just walking around the woods and occasionally casting spells. How about you, Jim?
I'm a Meepo player now.
Oh. Ooh.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
I think, we played some, I actually played a bunch of in-houses this week and it was a lot of fun. Theme Thursday had a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. Theme Thursdays was.
We played an in-house with Bea last night, which was Saturday. He just, like, randomly assembled 10 people.
just doing Bea things.
Yeah, I mean, probably, you know, because, you know, folks are quarantined and staying up late. So that was a lot of fun. We did a player draft. So it was, like, schoolyard rules. We rolled to see who would be the captains, and then we picked the players, like who you want to be on the. So I rolled, and it was me and Ursi were the two captains, Ursinity from another podcast, and I first picked Bea, and Bea went 27-0.
Oh wow!
So it was a try hard.
It was, yeah, it was pretty try hard. Okay. He was Lina. I had a cool draft where I first picked Lina. He could have been played like anywhere, and it ended up being our mid. And then he bought a rapier, and I was playing Dazzle, and we just kept him alive, and he killed everyone, and we won.
That's cool. So nice.
Very cool.
But in other news, on Theme Thursday, I played Meepo, I think, at one point, and then
I was in that.
And then in a pub,
I remember.
Oh yeah. And then we played a pub afterwards. A couple of us who were hanging around, and I just like, I'm playing Meepo.
What a guy.
And I did it, and it was fun, and I like it. And I'm a dirty Meepo picker now.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, you always had a natural affinity for Meepo, right? You always liked
Yeah,
you love your micro.
I think we're just, like, taking our final forms. Like, Arian's, right? Arian's, like, naturally a Huskar player.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
He just wants to snowball from mid and run around killing people. Mm-hmm. And then Meepo is like, I enjoy micro, and the only thing I can do is farm. Like, that's that. And so, yeah, I just do that. I was playing against a Viper. I had like 93 CS at 10 minutes or something. Mm. And it was just, this is so easy. And then I screwed up a whole bunch of times in the mid game, getting Meepo's killed. Perfect. But after that, we then won and took their base in like 30 seconds. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Who's my final form?
Yeah, who is your final form?
I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm a sad Archon player now. When I started on the podcast, I was an ancient player, and then last season I was legend, and now I'm an Archon. No
offense. We like Dota right there.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, thank you. Maybe it's because I haven't found my final form. Who is it? I don't know.
I think it's because your synergy is with Bay, but
this is true.
He's not playing as much.
Yeah, that might be it. I don't know. I don't have much to report on Dota. I play like, I think I played 2 Turbo games this past week.
Oh, very nice. Very
and they were fun. Like, I'm just making sure to always play with friends and when I actually want to play and not just out of boredom or habit. So
that's the right move.
Didn't we play yesterday?
Oh, we did. Oh, I purged that from my mind.
We got destroyed.
Please tell.
We got destroyed 2 times, man.
I played 2 ranked games with Aria and lost both, and 2 turbo games and lost both.
I guess this ties pretty well into my week in Dota. I've been playing a lot, but I'm on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game losing streak right now.
Oof.
I'm not that discouraged, though, because it's a new patch, and I just do weird shit most of the time. I go, like... I mean, that's actually been surprisingly pretty successful, but I go Juggernaut mid, and I rush Ags. It's actually a pretty legit build. You guys should try it out. I go Phase Boots.
Wait, can you tell me more about the Ags? I haven't seen how it actually works yet. Maybe I should go demo it.
It's like a very short Omni Slash on a low cooldown. And that's what most people know about it. But most people, I feel like, haven't quite realized yet is how much better the cast range it is. It's like close to a blink distance. You can just slash people from that far. It's pretty great. It pretty much solves your mobility problems and... The stats of an Axe are also kind of comparable to a Skadi, right? So it's a pretty nice purchase.
Okay.
And you can fit it in pretty well.
So you go first Dynamax?
No. I go I go Phase Boost and then I go Yasha and then I go the Fusion Blade, which is like good mix of stats, and then you go Axe. And after you go Axe, you go Abyssal Blade. So you're super tanky, you do a lot of damage with the Basher and stuff, and the Diffusion Blade and the Axe, and then you have 2 ways to jump on people. The Abyssal Blade, which is like a short-range blink, and the Axe, which is like a short-range blink. It's a super fun build. And after that, you can do what you want, because you probably already win, if you get to that point.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's not that farm-intensive or anything, because you can fight pretty early.
Yeah. That sounds good for your style.
Yeah, and it's the only thing that's been working for me so far, because I stopped doing it and then I went on a 7-game lose streak, so maybe I should just keep doing it.
So you have 2 heroes that you can play mid.
Yeah, Huskar and Juggernaut right now.
Very cool.
Pretty much. And, cool. I mean, the loss streak is mostly because I refuse to admit that I'm just, I guess, not good at anti-mage, because 5 of these... 7 losses on anti-mage.
I
was watching you play
anti-mage.
Oh no, man.
Yeah.
It's not been going well. I've just been fighting way too much.
Yeah, I don't think you're an anti-mage player.
I'm not.
Oh, you're like the anti-anti-mage.
You're like the opposite of anime.
You're just a mage.
Yeah. I'm just a mage.
You are. You should play Storm.
That's true. So yeah, I'm probably just going to find a way to never play anti-mage again, and I'll go back up in MMR.
That sounds like an easy plan to execute.
Yeah, I think
but it's so fun. Like having a good anti-mage game is worth all the bad ones. That's why anti-mage is so hard to crit, right? Yeah, okay. That's pretty much it about my week.
All right, well, let's move into the news. Okay, the news.
All right.
We have another patch here, a little nerfy type of patch, 7.25A.
Very cool. They kind of killed the bounty hunter thing where you get a lot of gold.
Feels balanced him a little more.
I guess.
They nerfed Meepo a little bit, Jim. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like... here's something. I don't think nerfing clone XP gain is a nerf.
Okay.
I think it's a buff.
Okay.
Wow.
And I said this I said this back when they cut it down the first time from 100% to 50%. That means if he has two clones and one other hero, the other hero gets more XP from that team fight.
Ooh.
This means his teammates are getting more XP. It used to be Meepo killed your teammates because it would be four Meepos and one other teammate in a team fight, and that one teammate would get 20% of the XP, but now they get a lot more.
Mm.
I think a clone XP gain nerfs are actually buffs for Meepo's win rate because it helps his teammates. Mm. Although loss of two strength in the talent sucks, but whatever. Like, you farm up an E-blade in like 13 minutes. Who cares what your stats are?
Galaxy Brain Jim.
I mean,
no, I think it's true because every time they nerf the clone XP gain, his win rate goes up. Mm. I'm sure that's it.
Very cool.
Very nice.
Ursa, the Fury Swipes damage got reduced.
That was a very decent.
That was ridiculous.
It was so overpowered, man.
And then the overpower, his W got the cooldown got increased, I suppose.
What I do want to say is that I think even after these nerfs, Huskar's still substantially stronger than he was before 7.25 came out. It's a really substantial buff still. Like, he's super strong. I played him first after like a month and I got 17 kills immediately.
Huskar.
He's still
Huskar,
really good.
He got a tiny nerf in 7.25. He was untouched in 7.25A.
Yeah. His max attack speed got reduced a tiny, tiny bit.
Yeah.
And that's almost irrelevant because, you know, the difference between 340 and 320 is, like, minuscule because of the way attack speed's calculated.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't have too much to talk about with this.
No, just stats. Thank you for getting rid of Ursa. Thank you for killing Ursa.
I did.
Ursa's down to like a 55% win rate instead of the 60% win rate he was at before these nerfs.
I did play Ursa the other day and felt really bad. But that's because I'm bad, not because Ursa's bad.
No, you're good. We love you.
That's okay. Yeah, it happens. Arian, do you want to make an announcement?
Hey guys, this is A2K. We had some details change with this, which is why I'm re-recording the announcement. Anyway, as a result of the social distancing measures many people are undertaking, the WLD team is happy to present to you the Peter Pandemic Dota League to assist you in your efforts to stay home. WLD will be running Scored in-houses on Wednesdays and Fridays at 1800 Eastern Time, that's 2200 Greenwich Mean Time. These in-houses will be open for anybody that wants to participate. The first in-house will take place on Wednesday, the 1st of April. Additionally, we will be running the Peter Pandemic Dota League in a ladder format every Sunday. The league will be exclusive to teams who register on the tournament website, that's wldleague.us. Before registering, please make sure you have read and understood the rules of our league. Signups for the league are open now and will close on Thursday, April the 2nd. Initially, both the league and the in-houses are set to run for a duration of 4 weeks, with potential further adjustments depending on the development of the coronavirus. For a detailed explanation of our format, the in-houses, rules, updates, and to register for the league, please visit our website at wldleague.us. Thank you.
It's very cool, though. I'm excited to follow it.
Maybe we can cast a game, Jim.
Friends. Oh, that's good.
I just can't do like two games in one night, I feel like. It's not. Anyway,
no.
We have a Pro Dota tournament that's going on. The
The We Play charity tournament.
Yes. Has anybody been watching a little bit of this?
Nope.
Okay. I have actually.
I have as well.
Oh, good.
All right, you start.
Okay, I'm trying to get caught up. The Cloud9 versus Crazy. They spoiler alert, Cloud9 lost 2-1 to Crazy, and I just love rooting against Envy. He's just
wait,
a villain.
Is Envy back on Cloud9?
Get him, Sam.
Yeah, isn't he?
Oh.
Yeah,
he's back on
Cloud9. Wow.
I think Misery's the captain.
It's
on Cloud9.
Yeah, it's
again.
Envy, Ace, Snyking, Pylodi, and Misery. Envy is playing mid. And so Crazy is Skitter, Brile, Kezu, Aoi 2000, and Moonmander. So the first game, Cloud9 won in like a romp. And then they dropped two in a row to Crazy. It's just great. It's like, I don't know who does these drafts. Like, the draft is, for Cloud9, Abaddon, Carry, Death Prophet support, Bounty Hunter mid, and then Weaver as a core with Disruptor. I'm just like, what? Like, how do you win? Like, and they don't. It's just like, I don't get, I don't know. I'm not like a brilliant Dota mind or anything. It's just wild to me. So that's always fun for me to root against him. What else? I watched some of the Geek Fam versus Boom Esports, that matchup. That was pretty fun. Geek Fam took it 2-1. Pretty competitive games, I would say. Which ones have you been watching, Arian?
I've been watching the EU games. So OG against Liquid was pretty nice to watch. Liquid 2-0'd them, which I know it was kind of to be expected because OG, they didn't feel the like full lineup at this event. They played with Sepp again and Saxa and Madara. So they were missing three players, basically.
Okay.
But yeah, Liquid still looked good. I mean, OG, nevertheless, they had really good players on their team, and they got too old. It's a pretty funny like way they have set up this tournament, because it's an online tournament, and because of ping, they can't have international play, right? So they just have a small bracket for each region.
Yeah. I saw Sumail was playing support.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, like, he's, like, 200 ping.
Okay.
Because he's stuck in the United States.
I see.
Oh, so. True.
I did watch this morning TNC Predator played a Team Adroit. And I didn't know Team Adroit was a team. I couldn't name a single player on their team. And TNC is usually pretty good. So I was surprised when... You know, Team Adroit was giving them a run for their money, and Team Adroit pulled out a 2-1 victory.
Damn.
TNC Predator had Anna filling in, which was also really hype. And
oh wow!
So it was really fun. If you're looking for a game to watch, the third game was like a 63-minute nail biter. I mean, some of it is obviously like pretty slow, but there was a Troll Warlord with a Divine Rapier. There were big RPs. It was a fun game. Their second game was like the most boring game. Don't ever watch it. It was like 3-3 at like 30 minutes.
Just
like,
oh boy.
You don't see many of those it's anymore with this current meta, but they managed to avoid fighting for like 30 minutes, which I thought would lead to an easy Spectre win, but not in the least. So I don't know what that says in terms of like TNC or if Anna is washed now, but I highly doubt it. It's probably just, you know, off a bit of rust.
It's just one of those crazy South American teams. It has happened before at tournaments, right? That just a South American team who nobody knows, they suddenly beat...
They're not South American.
Southeast Asian.
Oh, they're Southeast Asian. Oh, my bad. Wasn't it Chile? Oh, sorry. I mistook the thing.
Whoops.
You know, Europeans don't know geography. We established that.
All right.
New America.
Whoops.
Yeah, but it happens, right? There's still random teams that sometimes win.
Yeah, like the entire thing you were saying still applied to Southeast Asian teams, too.
I guess, yeah.
I was like, yeah, it all makes sense.
Also, I'm watching the third game here of Crazy versus Cloud9. Even though I know the outcome, it's baffling to me that Crazy win this game. Right now it's 15 minutes, and Wraith King just leveled his ult at level 10. Only now has he deemed it worthy to have a second life.
Was he losing or winning?
He was losing, but now he finally did it at the right time, so I think this is where they turn it around.
Gold game.
That's all you gotta do.
Anywho, anything else to talk about for the charity play? I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, I'm also glad it's happening.
Oh, yeah. They had a promo thing where they're talking about heroes wearing masks.
Oh?
True.
Because they ripped that
straight from the podcast, baby.
Yeah, they're stealing our mojo again.
Ahead of the meta once again.
Yeah.
They had a promo where they, showed that you should play heroes who wear masks.
We should,
which is literally our Dota thing.
It's literally what we did last week. Played 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
We should, consult for these things.
I'm convinced I'm convinced that Valve used our themes.
It has a pretty established precedent, right? Like, there's been situations before where Valve just straight up ripped features from the Beyond the Summit stream and were like, all right, that's ours now. And they didn't pay them for it or anything.
What do we think that they took from us?
Oh, yeah. Remember in the last compendium, they had all the theme challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Heroes
with beards. And there was a weird spike in traffic on DotaTheme.com. 2 months before that. I swear, Greg was I don't know how to find out where this was coming from, but the hosting, it was to the point where the hosting costs increased.
No way.
Yeah. I'm sure it was Valve. I'm sure they stole all our Dota themes.
Oh my god.
They could have just given me an immortal. I would have been like, all right.
I should have talked to Slacks about it. He could have talked to them for us.
I wonder if Elihu talked about it when he went to Valve.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he's our webmaster. one of us goes to
secret Valve employee.
Yeah, if we have if the Philly live show goes off again, Elihu shows up in a private jet. Wait a minute.
Very cool.
Something's up.
Fairly.
All right, let's move on to Hero of the Week.
You're tougher than Axe thought. Come along.
Feeding time.
Have a cookie.
Meepo. More Meepo.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
Hero of the Week. The Hero of the Week this week is Meepo.
Oh, that was good.
Meepo.
Yeah, was it?
Do you have one to add, Charlene?
Ain't that fancy. He says that, right?
I don't know. For some reason, I don't know that many people lines.
Nobody
says that. Responses, control F, fancy. Oh, no. He says fancy, geomancy, all these fancies. Yeah, common, ain't that fancy.
Perfect.
I like that fancy is a big part of his lexicon.
His vernacular.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In any case, Meepo is our hero of the week. Sam, you could read the lore while Charlene, you want to take us through Meepo's abilities?
Agility hero?
Yeah, he is.
You bet.
It's weird.
Very cool. Meepo the Geomancer is very interesting because his lore is just in the first person, a long quote. Him rambling about his perspective on life. Life is all about who you know and what you can find. So apparently he was brought up in the Rift Shaft Ruins, which is a place that has fallen into disrepair. And it's an old palace where they used to do dark rituals. And they made a lot of art that he now steals and sells to make a living because he's scraping by here.
Yeah.
And basically, I think what you're supposed to infer from the lore is that they used to do dark rituals in that palace. And if you survived the ceremony, they would shatter a crystal and split your soul into pieces. So we're supposed to infer that that is what happened to our boy Meepo. And it looks like he finds a rift shaft crystal, which I don't really know what that is, but apparently it's important. And he typically sells them to maguses that come to town. And I don't know. I'm not sure what else.
He probably shattered.
What's that?
He shattered one. And now the aspects of his soul, run around and ransack everybody.
Yeah. Other things, according to his lore tab, is that he eats fish.
Yes.
And that he has a working class background. Oh, he knows how to play a square lute, which he calls a pluckin' fiddle. So that's nice.
I like that.
He plays it in an ensemble with his clones. Really nice. So,
aww.
I don't have too much to add other than he's like, kind of like a rogue, like a ruffian, like he's kind of living on the wrong side of the law here.
Mm.
Yeah.
He would make a good, like street performer.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why, you ask? Well, it's because his cue is an earthbind. This is where he tosses a net around.
Whoa. I'm eager to hear the connection between street performer and earthbind.
Like circus things where you...
Oh, okay.
Trapeze stuff. There's nets there. It's more his W. But anyways, earthbind. He throws a net. The net has a huge range. It cast range goes up from 500 at level 1 to 1250 at rank 4. Has a decent radius, and once the target is rooted, he can do this from fog and everything, so you can't really juke him out. But once the net lands on you, it actually gives true sight over that target, which can be devastating. Rookie. Yeah, good against Ricky. And
you can basically permanently have these down, right?
Yes, you can.
Once you have a lot of meeples.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because the duration of it is 2 seconds, and the cooldown per meepo is at rank 1, 20 seconds, and then it goes down to 8 seconds. But then you can get up to 5 meepos, is that right, mm-hmm. with eggs? So you can just constantly have someone earthbound.
There's a talent as well.
Oh, there's a talent as well. So even if you miss one, you got another chance, because anytime you land it, it lasts for 2 seconds.
Man, that talent is super strong. I wonder if you could make like a support meepo with just like building Aether Lens and then spamming Earthbind.
That is we like Dota Cannon.
Oh.
Is it? Did we have a build like that before?
One of the original hosts used to play support meepo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Comes full circle.
The lore master, Jim.
Yeah. We like Dota lore, I have.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's because now they also decrease the XP, right? So your teammates get more XP, so it's more viable as a support.
Yeah.
You just get Aetherlands, you spam Earthbind.
Nice.
God, Aetherlands Earthbind would be literally off the screen.
Yeah, and you can spam it, right? And at level 20... you can like keep two people permanently earthbound if they don't have BKB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like No-Tail has definitely played the support meepo.
Probably.
Yeah,
sure, I've seen it. Yeah. All right. What really makes him a standout street performer is his poof, his little W, because he does like a cute little dance.
That's true.
There's a cast animation delay of 1.5 seconds, and during that time he like does a wiggle. But what poof is that you need two meepos to poof, and you poof from one meepo to the other,
you can single poof.
Sorry. But if you want to teleport poof, you need two meepos.
Yeah.
And there's damage on the initial poof as well as the arriving poof. I just like saying the word poof now. And for that reason, the damage of it scales with the number of meepos that you have. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah. I think this ability could actually make it... make Meepo a better street performer, because for the low price of 47 cents, you can get the Colossal Crystal Chorus. And this is, in my opinion, one of the best designed immortals in the game.
Mm.
So it changes your poof sound to like a pretty nice sounding like organ sound, right? And
it's like a tuning fork, like ding.
Like ding, like an organ from a church. So each of you, I think it sounds like that.
Okay.
All right, you'll have to see for yourself, obviously, to see who's right. But each of your individual clones, the sound is in a different pitch. You can actually make pretty nice melodies.
Oh man, are there like YouTube videos of people playing songs with it?
I'm sure there are.
Ooh, I just played it on my. You guys can't. I played it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's very beautiful. Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very you can nice. Edit that in, Arian.
I can. I will.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a very nice.
The one. Wiki page has a really nice, like, there are 7 resonance layers, and like 1, 2, 3, 4, like 12 or 11 like crystal chorus layers, and so there's like a lot of possibilities here. It's very cool.
Damn.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Here,
how beautiful. For the low price of 44 cents.
Insane value.
44 yeah, American it's very cents.
Value. Yeah.
Insane.
Okay. QWE. E is a passive called Ransack. He does pure damage with this and then is also a heal, right? He lifesteals off of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other Meepos heal from each strike.
Oh, is it kind of like Lone Druid thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So any strike Wait, that the main...
If one, let's say Meepo 1 strikes a hero, then Meepo 2 to 4 get healed by 18 at level 4. If Meepo 4 strikes a hero, Meepos 1 through
1, 3, 2, 3 and
get
5.
Healed for 18.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Importantly,
and it's also pure damage.
It's also pure damage.
Pure damage. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's like equivalent to what, like 40 based physical damage in the late game for each individual Meepo, basically. It's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Importantly, does not work against Roche.
Oh, yeah,
but,
that would be broken.
But Meepo can still very easily take a very early Roche on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And then his ulti, Divided We Stand, is curious because you actually get a point at level 3-1
Yep.
No, mm-hmm. Not 1.
3, 10, and 17.
Kind of weird, like,
something
invoker.
Like that. Yeah. So you can get your ultimate at level 3, get your second Meepo, and then you can start doing cool poof things with that or heal while you're in lane with that. There's so many notes here. I'm not going to read through them. But
it's too many stats, man. Meepo is so complicated, like how the clones interact with each other.
Yeah. The only thing I think that's important is that Aghanim Scepter will upgrade the number of clones that you get from 1, 2, 3 to 2, 3, 4.
It gives you another Meepo.
Yeah. And
you would potentially rush this on, you know, Norm on support Meepo, right? To get another net.
I think you do.
Maybe, yeah.
And like, what do you actually need to do Roche? Because you can just like help your team take Roche early on enough that you can get to the level 3 Roche and maybe get your own Ag Scepter that way? Is that a thing?
Oh, maybe.
That's true. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Jim, you know, you play this hero a lot because, you know, Meepo, he's one of the most unique heroes. What yeah. makes him so unique playstyle-wise?
Well... He's like one of the fastest farmers in the game, and the other Meepos gain experience, which is a big thing. Like if you're playing Naga or Terrorblade, your illusions can get you money, but they cannot get you experience. But if you have extra Meepos, you can send them off to jungle camps, and you could sit in lane, and you're getting full lane experience and jungle camp experience.
Hmm.
And the flip side of that is that if any of the Meepos are killed, your hero is dead. And so it just takes like lots of map awareness, especially given that Poof teleports your meepos around.
Mm-hmm.
So like what I try to do is take my clones, which are meepos 2, 3, and 4, and run them around to farm, you know, jungle camps or lanes far away from where people are. And then run around with number one looking for opportunities to kill enemies. Because every, what is it, 4 seconds? 5 seconds? Well, 6 seconds at level 4, you can just poof all of your other meepos to your main meepo or whatever meepo you want. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have 4 heroes. And you can... And the other thing is that stats are shared across the meepos. So, like, damage, like, plus damage is not shared, but stats are shared. And so... And boots are shared, which is bizarre.
Boots are shared, but the cooldown isn't, right?
Right. They used to have separate cooldowns, but now boots, I mean, unless you bought phase boots on Meepo, which is not a good idea, but because they nerfed BOT, so you can't do the BOT thing anymore.
Mm.
But, so treads gives you 10 agi and 20 attack speed.
It's pretty good.
So it gives your main Meepo 10 agi and 20 attack speed. It gives all of your other meepos 10 agi and 20 attack speed. And then it gives all your other meepos the 10 agi that it gave the first meepo.
Hmm.
So they actually get, like, double boots if you get treads. So, yeah, you just get treads, wraith bands. And you could get, like, you could have, like, treads, 3 wraith bands, and an ethereal blade at, like, 13 minutes. And then your meepos are hitting for, like, 200 damage. And then you just go around and kill everyone and take all the buildings. And then you get caught out a bunch of times in the mid game and die. That's my experience. But like, yeah, like you farm super fast early. Apparently he's even like the counter to anti-mage because his timings happen so much earlier. Well, yeah, but he hits his timing so much earlier than anti-mage.
Exactly. He's also just super, like just the hero itself counters anti-mage by a big margin. Like Earthbind, anti-mage can't block that with his E, so it's guaranteed disable on him. That's basically permanent, and he can't move. Like it's the biggest anti-mage counter in the game, almost.
Wait, why?
And Meepo does a lot of physical and pure damage, which anti-mage doesn't get. Sure.
Why can't anti-mage block the soulbind thing?
The earthbind, because it's not a hero targeted ability.
Oh. It's ground target.
His E only reflects hero targeted.
I didn't know it was ground targeted. Okay, very cool.
Yeah, and. I think Meepo's super strong right now as well because we have the cheese mid meta.
True.
I don't know if you all talked about it on the patch
cast. Yeah, we
cast.
Did. Okay. We talked a lot about it.
That you have to only pick cheese. And Meepo destroys... Like, Meepo is the number one hero against Broodmother in the entire game. He's like a 12% win rate bonus. And I think he does well against the other cheese heroes too. Mm-hmm. So... You might as well pick him mid.
Yeah. You're definitely right. This meta is the cheesiest meta of all. Not because, like, cheese heroes are suddenly strong, but because the way they restructured the ranked all-pick picking system, right? So you never have to be afraid of getting specifically target counter-picked in the mid lane, which is what most cheese heroes rely on. So they can just pick it without getting punished, basically.
And if you, I think the real play is to wait as long as possible on your mid pick, and then pick your cheese hero. Because if they pick the same cheese hero before you, you get to repick.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you know what cheese hero they have, and you can counter pick that cheese hero with your own cheese hero. So I think it's just going to be like Meepo Huskar Broodmother.
Oh, like, did I hear Huskar there? Very nice.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good cheese meta.
And Meepo has fantastic cosmetics. As Arian pointed out, the Colossal Crystal Chorus is great. And then he has another cash set where he has candles melted onto the top of his head, which I love. And he, in the newest chest, he has the Diablo 2 Act 3 Fetish set, which makes him look like the fetishes from Diablo 2 Act 3.
Very interesting. That
was... Actually, Diablo 2 was probably released before you were born, Arian. But I know Sam loves Diablo 2.
I do. I almost downloaded it this week.
It's so good. It's still really good.
The fetishes. I'm trying to look at
those little guys in the jungle.
Oh,
remember?
The green ones. Yeah.
Those tiny little guys.
Yeah. Very cool. Shall we move along to Noobs Ask Noobs, or do we have more to say about Meeps?
Nah, he's awesome.
I think
they're awesome.
I like his voice lines. He's a fun character.
Very good. Noobs Ask Noobs.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is, always prepare for war!
Uncle Bourbon writes in, how do I counter Arian's bloody Huskar?
I think he's referring to the Theme Thursday game.
Yes.
Where I played Huskar, because...
After that game, he told me he was going to sick his dog on me, which felt bad.
Oh.
Oh, damn. Feels bad.
His dog is really cute.
He's so cute.
So, he was the clockwork, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, he countered me pretty well in that game, because the way the game went is, at minute like 20, my KDA was, let me see. At minute 18, my KDA was 8 and 7, right? And I only had a power treads, armlet, and two braces.
What do you mean? You're 6 slotted.
I wasn't 6 slotted.
That sounds like 6 slotted to me.
All right. I mean, I had two items, like two real items.
No, you had bracers. Those are.
All right. I was 4 slotted, I guess. So I wasn't even that strong. It was only because he did exactly the right thing. He bought first item Spirit Vessel, yeah. Clockwork, right?
Yeah.
I was so sad for the whole like mid game in that game. I like died every fight and could never snowball. But then my team snowballed really hard, especially Wisp on the Legion Commander went really crazy. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, came back in the late game and was able to do stuff again. Because once as Huskar you get Satanic, the Stratus resistance becomes so much that Spirit Vessel becomes way less strong against you.
Makes sense.
Basically, he did the right thing, right? Just the team owned so much that I was able to get through that phase where the Spirit Vessel was really strong.
Yeah. I think Disarm is really good.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about Halberd.
Right?
I mean, it is, but only if you have the damage to actually kill the Huskar. Because, you know, Huskar has a lot of disarm as well, because he rushes Halberd and he has a disarm of his own.
What about Dagon?
Yeah, Dagon is really good.
He doesn't have Huskar magic doesn't resistance magic anymore. Resistance yeah.
Anymore. Silver Edge? Break him?
Yeah. Especially now, Silver Edge, they added this in one of the recent patches. It reduces regen by 50%.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Along with the break.
That'd be
so
really
that's
good.
Like even more of a Huskar counter now. So
wow, yeah.
Silver Edge is definitely the ultimate counter now.
What about Venno?
Venno's still good, but it's vastly inferior to just buying a Silver Edge on a physical damage hero, I think.
It's pretty hard, though, unless you can pick a hero that counters Huskar. Like, the items are well and good, but I don't know.
I mean, your nightmare as a Huskar is definitely a lifestealer, because with any hero that has a lot of damage that can just go on you, right, you're always going to have the disarm to, like, completely ruin their timing. Mm. And with Lifestealer, he can just get a Silver Edge and destroy you, because you can't disarm him.
Yeah, he seems to do poorly against Viper as well.
Yeah, there's a
yeah
break.
For sure. Viper is a built-in break.
Yeah.
I mean, Necro, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Necro.
I remember you picked Huskar into a Necro the other day. It was tough.
Yeah. Did we win the game?
No. Got crushed. Oh, that's bad. Or no. It was Necro and Bloodseeker.
Oh, yikes. Jesus. Fits bad, man.
You're like, I don't care. I'm like, okay.
I remember, though, in the WLDL finals where my team and Charlene's team where we actually made it into the finals. I picked Necro into a Huskar and even though I got destroyed mid really hard, so we lost the game still. But there were two moments in that game where I just could press one button and the Husker died. So I still feel like the draft was good. It's definitely really nice to just press one button.
I'm a big proponent of pressing one button. okay, Uncle Bourbon.
It's your final form.
Yeah. As you know. is there any good magic damage build for Void Spirit? Charlene, you're not a Void Spirit player, are you?
I'm not, but I see a lot of orchids on him. I don't know if that's part of the answer.
Does Ags count as magic damage?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a lot of damage at that point, especially since you have a talent that gives the pulse plus 100 damage at level 15.
Plus the silence?
You're the Void player, Arian. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that Arian's the Void Spirit player.
True. I mean, I played him when he came out. I don't play him that much anymore, but when he came out, I did play him as a magic damage hero. I went Brown Boots into Veil, maybe with like one or two medallions. And then I went Veil into Radiance into Travels. But nowadays, like, I probably wouldn't go Radiance anymore because the Axe is so strong. So if you just get a Veil and an Axe and you hit level 15, I think you're going to have a ton of burst magic damage available.
Mm-hmm. What if you did Yules for the setup of the Remnant?
Yeah, that's big now.
Yeah, I see pro players do that a lot.
Yeah, that's true. And it helps with, you know, spamming stuff. So maybe like Veil Yules Eggs.
Could
because if you get that timing at level 15, right, your Resonant Pulse alone is gonna do as much damage as a level 1 Sand King ult. And then you still have all your other nukes. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, Dora. What is the most obscure kitchen item that you own?
Let me think. The most obscure kitchen. Oh, we used to have a really, like... We called them egg clocks in Germany. Like, a clock for eggs. It's like a clock that you have to turn.
A timer?
And then it spins and then... Yeah, basically like a timer. But a physical one, not a digital one.
Like an egg timer.
We had one that was a cat that like spins, and the cat looked really weird. But then my sister and me broke it while playing when we were small.
Aww.
I think I would say, I don't know if it's that obscure, but I think it's like the most useful thing that we always recommend other people have. Is a knife sharpener.
Is that
like
obscure?
A small... No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Like a small handheld knife sharpener, like a real cheap one. Like we've gone to people's houses and they have like dull knives. And like, oh, sorry, we have to get new knives. And we're like,
what?
It's like $6. Like, here you go.
Nice.
And that's like having sharp knives is like the best.
It is.
It's true.
Charlene, what about you?
I don't know if these are obscure. I'm just thinking of things that only have one purpose. So I have two that come to mind. One of them is like a sifter for confectioner sugar or flour. So it's like it looks like a metal measuring cup, except the bottom is hollow. And there's like in the handle, there's a thing you can press, and that connects to these blades that are at the bottom so that when you do it, it like slowly sifts it out. And then the second niche thing is a hamburger press, like to make perfect hamburger patty shapes, and it puts the little dimple in for you. The necessary dimple to keep your hamburger from shrinking too much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Interesting.
Sounds very cool.
Those things that you have, Charlene, are like stuff I grew up with. Like they're like the weird kitchen things that like my parents had.
Yeah,
that's cool.
For me, The most obscure kitchen item I have is a tagine. It's a Moroccan. It's a Moroccan kitchen item used kind of in a similar way to like a Dutch oven. So it's for your stove. You put it on a stovetop, and it has this kind of like this lid that's kind of conical shaped. And you're supposed to like kind of slow cook meat and vegetables in there. It's very beautiful. It's very like good very looking.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got it when we went on our trip there. So yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Legend.
Do you guys?
Oh, go ahead.
Do you guys have a rice cooker?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
A lot of, I was because that's I guess that's my item. It's not that unusual, but my father's Iranian, right? So of course we have a rice cooker, and in Iran the way we cook the rice, you kind of turn the rice and take the rice cooker off, so the rice looks like a cake because the rice at the outskirts of the rice cooker it's crisp and brown, so it kind of looks like a cake. And most people don't make rice that way. Because they don't have a rice cooker, and it's a very nice way to make rice.
Very nice.
Hmm.
Legend 27, can I have some tips on a successful early game off lane? So I'm assuming that means like laning stage. And then secondly, what hero would you recommend for a solo queue guardian player?
Solo queue guardian in the off lane.
So. Early tips for the early game and the off lane. For me, I would say just trying not to feed is like step one at the guardian level, I think. I mean, at any level, really, but.
Yeah, for sure.
So just living, and then. first of all, bring a lot of regen. I think that's my first tip is. Bring a lot of regen.
That's a good one.
Especially in these times. Because most safe laners these days have a ton of regen with them.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to buy a shield anymore.
True.
What do you guys think?
I think one other thing that you definitely could do is picking Centaur. He's one of the best, like, not low tier, but off laners that's good at a low tier, in my opinion, because he has a easy to set up stun, which is very nice for off laner to have, because in lower levels, right, I think I've talked about this before, having a stun, like stunning somebody, is a go on them sign for everybody.
Right.
Because you know, Dota players, they're afraid of risk, and going on somebody that's stunned, it's not a risk, it's like the most low risk thing that you can do. So Dota players, they love to do it. And in low tier games, you don't have any coordination. So just having that sign, go on them, stun them, it's way more impactful than a slow, just because all your teammates are immediately going to jump on the people that you stun. So it allows you to control the game flow by having a stun, especially in lower tiers. Not so much anymore in higher tiers, because people are smarter and know when like going on a stun is just a bait and stuff like that. So Centaur's very nice in that regard, and he's of course very tanky. He has good right click damage to go for kills in the safe lane, and since you're playing against low tier players, they're probably gonna feed, so having actually the damage to capitalize on their mistakes is also very nice. And then lastly, his ult allows you to basically fix your team's terrible positioning, because every time your safe laner is called out, you can just press your ult and have him run away. Yeah, so picking Centaur is definitely very nice.
Yeah. I also suggest Ogre. I feel like Ogre is a good, well-rounded support, and he's so inherently tanky that it's hard to go wrong with him. Just, like, comes up and thwacks you, and then they try to trade, and you're gonna win out, usually, because you have pretty decent regen and
buy a headdress.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't buy a headdress anymore.
What?
No?
Me and Bear. Because we see me and Bear yesterday, we played a game. We laughed because our lane opponent, like, they had a headdress every game we played against another lane opponent. So headdress is really not that good anymore. They removed like half of the value.
What about the buckler? Game, which is that still good? Three stats.
I mean,
I think buckler is still good in certain situations. Yeah.
They removed the attributes, but I think for a position 4 or position 5, like it's still pretty defensible to have it. Like you still have a ton of regen, which is really what you care about, especially in the offlane.
It's what, 2 regen, right?
Yeah, so Ogre, you're like sitting at double digits. I mean, it's kind of stupid, actually.
It's still good, right? I'm not saying it's like unbuyable, but they removed around, I'd say, like 20 or 30% of the value.
I think, though, at like Guardian level, you're not necessarily so worried about like maximizing value so much as you are worried about ease of execution. So if you can buy an item that you don't have to click any buttons or anything, and it just gives you passive regen and allows
you to stay
in lane, I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
I would recommend for a hero, I would think about, I mean, it depends on your playstyle, but I know Jim's a big proponent as well of Underlord.
Oh, yeah.
I think Underlord's great.
You can take a pretty early level in your passive, and it'll really help you secure last hits. Mm-hmm. Your Q is really good. You can just sit behind towers and defend towers really easily against pushes. Big AoE root. I would say just generally, like, don't worry so much about securing, like, risky last hitting or anything like that. It's not the end of the world if you're not able to like bully the opponents out of lane or anything. I mean, it's great if you can, but I think it's more important at that level just to like not feed the opponent carry.
That's true.
I think because that's my big tip.
If you assume you're like better than the opponent, which is why you want to climb MMR, right? Then you're always going to be able to, especially in lower levels, make up a small like difference in the early game through better late game decision making. Because low tier games, they're just like a complete train wreck in the late game.
I'm watching.
Underlord's very good at train wrecks. The permanent atrophy damage.
He feeds off the train wrecks.
And people don't realize that, like, that guy playing Morphling doesn't realize that he has 40% less damage now.
Yeah.
Because you're in the game. Because it doesn't show up anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. All right, last one. Juvu, what do you want in a new hero? Abilities, species, lore, etc. So I've been playing Dungeons. I had my first Dungeons & Dragons the other day.
Yes.
So I want, like, a true dwarf. Like, right now we have, like, a sniper.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah. He's, like, more of, like, a keen folk. Like, I don't really know.
Like a gnome.
Yeah, he's more of, like, a gnome. He's not in your face at all. You know, the closest we have in personality to dwarf is probably Axe, but he's an orc. So I want a burly dwarf who's very short and stout, like, very traditionally dwarfish. Maybe he carries a maul, or she could be a she dwarf.
Yeah.
Just very like Gimli-esque, like a pure cannonball.
I could not agree with more, man. I really loved dwarves when I was younger. I used to read a book series.
Oh, you mentioned
and when
this.
When we had to make a book presentation, I chose those books. So I had a friend of mine. I made him dress up like a dwarf.
Stop.
For the school presentation. And he had like a very nice, he had a cape, he had a cool axe with like diamonds on it. It was very nice.
Wow.
So cute.
That's very cool.
Yeah, there used to be a dwarf in Dota 1. There must have been someone who used like the Dwarven King model, right? Mm. Who was it? Anyone know?
The Dwarven King. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I'm too young to play Dota 1.
Yeah. There was a dwarf in Warcraft 3. There was a hero that was like the Dwarven, like exactly what you're talking about, Sam. And so I assume they used the model for someone. Was it Zeus?
I don't know.
Zeus Maybe, doesn't yeah. seem very dwarfish.
Know. No.
What would
yeah,
it,
they
like,
had to do what they had to do in Dota 1.
You could... I think what's nice about wolves is, right, that for like some fictional races, it's only like one stereotype that you can make into a hero concept. So like elves or something, they're like good mages and maybe they're also good archers and something like that. Dwarves, you have a lot. You can like make a dwarf warrior. You can make a dwarf like something like brewmaster, maybe. Like he makes beer and stuff. You can make a dwarf druid or something. Yeah, they should introduce a dwarf like race into Dota.
Yeah.
Would make the game infinitely better.
That'll save it.
Abilities. I'm thinking they would have some kind of ability that improves their weapon. Because like they're stereotypically like
good weaponsmiths.
Yeah. Blacksmiths.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So something kind of like...
Like a damage buff?
Yeah, or? Like how Bloodlust, you can cast it and like increase attack speed. So like you cast it, maybe it's just like plus damage. Or maybe you get to do like your right click does damage over time. Or I don't know.
A bleed something. Effect or something like that? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. the damage, the weapons are so sharp.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. What else do we think?
Right now I guess we're making a dwarf like warrior. Mm-hmm. So something that makes him really tanky would be nice. Like maybe like a passive, and nowadays because all passive needs to have that, like a passive with an active component.
yeah.
So I think it would be pretty boring to just make it straight armor, mm-hmm. right? Because he wears like woven armor, maybe like a damage reduction thingy, like bristleback, maybe something like a front, like Mars has, but only for melee heroes. Because he's a dwarf, he's not very mobile, right? He's not supposed to be good against projectiles from afar.
Yeah,
maybe like status resistance or something. Like he can't be slowed. Like he's not a fast hero, but you can't slow
him
down.
It's true. He's very resolute, right?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, Resolute, that's good.
Very
that could be the name of it.
True, Resolute Armor
Resolute
or something.
March or Armor, yeah.
Oh, that could be the active, maybe, right? That you get a period of Strength and Resolve or something could be the name of the active, and then you, for a period of time, have like 80% status resistance.
Cool.
Very cool. Man, this seems already
all
so
passives. Weird. Yeah, it's got to be... the hero for Sam, so it just like runs at people slowly with no abilities.
That's right. I think maybe you could also say something like some kind of ability to let the dwarf tunnel into the ground.
Ooh, very nice.
Mechanically,
how cute.
Yeah, very cute. Could be could go different ways. It could be like Nyx's Ags, where you tunnel and you just sit there, or or it could be more like a void spirit where you disappear for a little while and then you pop out somewhere else. I'm not quite sure. Still workshop.
That's a pretty nice idea. I think something like Nyx would be nice, but you're carry, right? So you need a way to use your abilities from the ground, or like be able to move a bit in the ground. That would be OP, though.
Yeah, I like moving in the ground. I think it's cool. Or like you could move through the ground to get past elevation changes.
Mm. Ooh,
that's very nice.
Like you have like 1 or 2 seconds of moving underground just to go up a cliff.
But it shouldn't be too fast. It should last like 1 or 2 seconds, right? He's a dwarf. He's not supposed to be mobile.
Right.
True.
Okay. All
right.
Then
I think we got it.
We need the ult now. Maybe like a big fortification type thing. Like similar to Mars ult, but it's just a wall or something, and then it's like a dwarven fort. basically, maybe it should be a bit like Mars ult. Like maybe not a circle, maybe a square or something. And it doesn't keep people in, it keeps other people out.
Ooh, I know. What if it makes him, brings him up on a pedestal and then he can like hit from above? Because he's normally so short. So like he builds a mound for himself and then other people can't touch him and then he just like fucks on him.
Sounds good.
Very cool.
Very nice.
And good cosmetics too.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Because he's gonna have ornate armor and weapons and
oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah, does he have a mount?
Good nuts.
No, so dwarves are notorious not mount.
They don't.
Not mount riders.
Mm. I mean, it doesn't have to be horse, right?
Does he have a pet?
Oh, a pet.
Does he accept the armadillo?
I think he should have like a mole. like another tunneler.
Star-nosed mole.
True.
Yeah, a mole is a good one.
Is he radiant or dire?
Dire.
Oh, he's dire.
No, he's radiant. What? He's radiant. Good guys.
Okay.
I think he's radiant for sure.
Yeah.
Strength hero?
Charlene, what did the dwarves ever do to you? Come on.
Come on.
I don't know. Seems kind of grungy. Kind of dark.
I think you can go either way, right? I mean,
true.
Yeah,
maybe
true.
The evil dwarf, the greedy dwarf who like dwarf. wants to exploit the crystals from
yeah,
or something.
Like Wagner or something, right?
All right, are we done? Did we do it?
I think so. I just want to
pretty good theory crafting, guys. Very nice.
Yeah, definitely.
What's up, Jim?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to any of our listeners who are, experiencing difficulty during the coronavirus pandemic. I know we have one listener, a patron, Digital Nick. He may have it. Just want to say that you're in our thoughts and prayers, Nick. Best of luck for you and your family,
for sure.
And to any other listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just give you a little shout out while you're listening at home and hopefully feeling better already.
Yeah.
Certainly. We will do our best to keep you entertained while in social isolation.
Yep.
All right, folks. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.